This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're now joined by Ken Rudin, the political junkie. His show, The Political Junkie, will air Friday nights at 7 on the Ideas Network starting tomorrow. Ken, hello again.
I'm thinking if this is the weirdest election in history, we might as well have the weirdest phone connection in history as well.
Exactly. But we've got you now, and
that's
we've
right.
got this election going on. So we were talking earlier, and we heard you a little bit. Can this get any weirder? Are there any more weird twists and turns that you're watching for?
Oh, it hasn't started yet, and here's why it hasn't started yet. Because for the first time, well, let's see, I mean, basically for the first time since 1976, it looks like we're headed to a contested convention in Cleveland in July. And what I mean by a contested convention is that a candidate does not go into the convention with a majority of the delegates. The Republicans need the Republican to be nominated on the first ballot. Republican needs 1,237 delegates. Right now, Donald Trump's going to have to do very well, winning 60% of the remaining delegates to get that number. If he doesn't, then chaos could very well happen in Cleveland. Basically, Donald Trump says if he doesn't get the nomination on the first ballot, there'll be riots at the convention. And if he does get the convention, if he does get the nomination, there are a lot of Republicans who say, oh my goodness, we are in big trouble in November against Hillary Clinton or whomever the Democrats put up. So either way, you're going to have a wild time and a crazy time, unpredictable time in Cleveland at the convention.
And Ken, the name Paul Ryan is not going anywhere either, even though Paul Ryan says, stop talking about me, not going to happen. His name is still out there as maybe a third choice.
Well, Veronica, remember when Paul Ryan said, there's no way I'm going to be Speaker of the House either, and he suddenly became Speaker of the House. So Paul Ryan's name has been mentioned. But look at it this way. Think of all the voters who have voted for Ted Cruz or Donald Trump since the Iowa caucuses. You go to the Cleveland Convention, and somehow these Republican elites say, okay, you know what? Let's name Paul Ryan or Mitt Romney or somebody else or John Kasich, who's won Ohio and nothing else. I mean, that, you know, there might be a true rebellion among delegates in Cleveland. So either you get a Donald Trump or a Ted Cruz, neither of whom is the most popular Republican on the face of the earth, or you get a non-candidate at the moment or somebody other than those two, and then those Trump and Cruz supporters say, wait a second, what about all this work I've done for my candidate? Suddenly you're going to take the nomination and give it to somebody who has not even been in contention until now. So that's why I'm thinking that it could be just utter chaos. The last time a Republican convention went beyond one ballot was 1948, when Thomas Dewey won it on the third ballot. But this one looks like not only chaos, but it could be like bad blood and recriminations that can go all the way through November.
Ken, as you know, we voted in Wisconsin on Tuesday. Usually these primaries, the national media, they don't call, they don't write. This time we got all the attention. What did you make of what you saw in Wisconsin this time around?
Well, I love it. I mean, as I said earlier with my very low voice earlier in the show, that I said that it's the first time in history that the two winners in Wisconsin were not the front runners. You have Bernie Sanders winning big on the Democratic side. You have Ted Cruz winning big on the Republican side. Neither one is likely, or at least at this point, likely to win the nomination on the first ballot. But it just shows what Wisconsin is all about. It's independent. It's progressive. It's different. It's learned. It's obviously one of the more highly educated states in the country. I'm not saying that because Sanders and Cruz won, but Wisconsin voters has always been a large turnout. They know their candidates. They know what the issues are. And it was just, it wasn't a surprise that either Cruz or Sanders won, because that's what the polls showed. But boy, it sure changes a lot of minds, because we keep watching, on March 15th, Hillary Clinton swept all those big five states, Ohio, Illinois, North Carolina, Florida, and Missouri. And everybody said, okay, Bernie's done. Then comes the next couple of weeks, including Wisconsin, and now Bernie Sanders has won six of the last seven, and people are saying, wait a second, there may be a Democratic race after all. Same thing on the Republican side. Donald Trump won everything except Ohio on March 15th. He's a shoo-in. Everybody else should drop out. And now you look at the numbers, you look at, one, the things that Trump has been saying over the last couple of weeks, and two, the numbers that we saw out of Wisconsin, and people say, well, maybe this guy could be stopped after all. So Wisconsin, you know, has not had its moment in the sun in a long time. I remember it was Eugene McCarthy's first victory in 1968. It was George McGovern's first victory in 1972. Back in the day, boy, do I sound like an old-timer, but back in the day, Wisconsin played a huge role. Jimmy Carter barely beat Mo Udall in 76 by a percentage point or two. It always made a big difference in the old days, but more recently, you know, the nomination battle had been over so early that Wisconsin never had its say. It had its say this week.
Nice to have our moment in the sun. And Ken, it's great talking to you, and we look forward to hearing more of you on Friday night.
Yeah, I can't wait to be. I'm very happy to be on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much.
That's Ken Rudin, political commentator and election historian. He hosts a weekly program, Ken Rudin's Political Junkie, which will air Friday nights at 7 on the Ideas Network starting tomorrow.
Coming up, the so-called Panama Papers revealed tax evasion through offshore accounts, but our guest says that in the U.S., creating a shell company to avoid taxes is very easy, easier than in Panama. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. You're listening to Central Time on Wisconsin Public Radio.